was a great introduction. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. Because I got jokes. I got mad jokes. Oh, where did you guys all come from when we got here? Y'all were not here. When I turned around the first time, it was empty. And now look at you. Congratulations on your new pastor. We're not besties. I mean, you know. But we're friends. And I just saw Brother Questy at his church at Riverside. On New Year's Eve, I had the honor of speaking at their church. And so I got to see him there. His wife had just had the baby, and she wasn't around. And so they're just such nice people, such great people. But other things are happening on February 4th, no? Yeah, guys. Well, usually the guys, but sometimes the girls know this. Isn't the Super Bowl?
Sure
is. Hello? Is that in your bulletin too? It is? By law, you cannot write Super Bowl in your bulletin. And according, yes, it is a copyrighted phrase. And I do follow a lot of law things. And so make sure that in your Super Bowl, in your bulletin, you do not write the word Super Bowl party. It must be a big game party. I just got the email from church law, and it said you can't write that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl because of the snacks. And that's about it, because my team is not in it. And my husband's is, I think. Can you guess which team my husband's is? Ew. Nana, you think you'll be in the Super Bowl, Patriots? No. I won't be here. So you can wear it all you want. My son is wearing his Eagles jersey in church today. So I'm a Giants fan. So you can imagine what that looks like in my house. Yeah, my husband and I have all opposite teams. Everything is opposite. He's a Yankees, Phillies, I'm Mets. He's Sixers, I'm Knicks. He's, I don't know, what are their hockey people? No, there's those Philly teams, whatever. Who cares? Rangers. So anyway, yes, I am the auntie. I am glad to see you this morning, and I'm blessed to be here. Again, congratulations on God just doing a big thing in your church and getting a pastor. God is getting you ready for an amazing, amazing future here. And so I can't wait to see what he does here. And I hope I get to hear beautiful reports of what's happening at West Hudson. I hope to see you guys at some of the events that come up with the youth. That's usually where you'll see me. The youth events, there's some women's events coming up, men's events. So it'll be great to see you guys in other events. But I'll miss you. And you've blessed me, and you have become part of my family. For a little bit there during worship and during announcements, I was sitting there going, oh, I wonder who's speaking today. Oh, me. Me, I'm speaking. I'm the guest here, and I keep forgetting that you're not like my family. You, but you, well, we don't know. There might, yes, okay. The Quiñoneses and I are working it out a little bit with my children, but it has been an honor, honestly. It has been an honor to be with you. But aside from the Super Bowl, the big game, which again is a copyrighted phrase and cannot be put in print or anything like that, there's something else that's coming in February that's kind of exciting to me. Oh, I mean, that's nice. Valentine's Day is nice. My husband's very cute all year long, so Valentine's Day is more like we make it a family thing. So before Valentine's Day, I'm trying to see who my new bestie is today. If you can figure out what's happening between the football, big game, and Valentine's Day, is what, the start of the? Okay, that's good too. You're going to love it. Really? The Olympics? Did you say, oh yeah, like it's not a big thing? I live for the Olympics. Really? Wow, I'm sorry. So just tune out for the next 45 minutes because we're about to talk about the Olympics for a long minute. No, I'm just kidding. But I love the Olympics. Every time the Olympics comes on television for summer or winter, I'm in it. Since I was a little girl, I projected myself into some sort of sport, right? So when I was little and I would watch ice skating, I was an ice skater. And I was going to win the gold. I mean, it really was my thing. I love watching the Olympics. It's probably because I am not athletic at all. But I'm real. Oh, and gymnastics. Nadia Comaneci in the 80s. And then, you know, I sit there from my couch or whatever, and I really know points, apparently. And I'm like, oh, they stuck the landing. As if, like, I am some major coach and evaluator. But I will watch the Olympics every single time it's on this summer. Sometimes I'm up very late at night to watch whatever sport is coming on. The Winter Olympics are coming. Now, the Summer Olympics, the most recent Summer Olympics that happens, I was trying to figure out where I fit into the Olympics. Again, I'm trying to project myself into the games because I want to bring home the gold. And this year, the most recent Summer Olympics, I wanted to do shot put. It's where the bigger person, me, takes like a ball and they lean it back and they throw it kind of far. Yeah, so I even started researching it. Like, I could totally be in the Olympics. So I started researching what it takes to be in the Olympics to do shot put. For a woman, the ball weighs 8 pounds. Psst, I got this. My kids, when they were little, were in youth bowling. And as a prize for being in youth bowling, they got an 8-pound bowling ball with Lion King on it. Lion King, yes. And so I started searching through my house for the 8-pound bowling ball so I can run around Hudson County Park and practice for the Olympics. You laugh as if I'm joking. I think they hid it from me because I searched everywhere and I finally looked at my husband. I said, "Where's the bowling ball?" He's like, "I don't know." I think they know that I am fully capable of learning shot put with an 8-pound bowling ball. But it's this time of the year. It is Olympics time. So I think this year I'm not sure which sport I'm going to project myself in. Maybe the bobsled team. Because if the Jamaicans can do it, this Puerto Rican can be part of the first Puerto Rican bobsled team. This is how I watch the Olympics. It is ridiculous. If you come to my house, this is really what it's like. But I think this year, maybe a little bit more track. My boys are in track, both of them. We've hit indoor track season, and so today we're going to talk a little bit about running. We're going to talk about running because it's that time of year. And I'm excited the Olympics are coming and it's a good sport, but also because Paul spent a lot of time talking about running in a few different books of the Bible. And so I'm just excited to talk to you about that today, as you can tell by my Olympic crown. Okay, so here we go. We're going to open up in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here at West Hudson. Thank you, Lord, for adding them to my family. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, continue to provide for this congregation. Continue to lead them, to guide them, and may they always be faithful to you. May they remember their desert moment and look forward to with great anticipation what you have in store for them. Lord, today I pray that you would give me the words to say and give all of us the ears to hear what you have in store for us in terms of running this race that you've given us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe that's my phone call for the shot put entry. No, but they don't do shot put in February. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Are we this way or this way? Oh. Okay, not yet. They're not up there yet. No, okay. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I love that you're turning pages. It's very important to me when you turn pages because I know that you're looking at it. You're going to get a taste, a physical touch of your hand on God's word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So I love the athletic imagery that Paul uses in all the references that I'm going to direct you to today. Because, again, the Olympics and all of that. But in studying the history of these references, I learned that the athletes throughout Greece would go to what is called the Isthmian Games every 2 years during the spring, and they were in honor of Poseidon or Neptune. It's the same. One is Roman, one is Greek. And so Paul is addressing the people in something that they're very familiar with. See, they're used to hearing athletic imagery and all of that because they are used to going to the games every couple of years. It's kind of a big deal, kind of like the Olympics. So he's making himself all things to all men by talking to them in something that they understand. Verse 25 speaks of some strict training. Okay, so currently my sons, well, the one son who's in indoor track, he practices 4 to 5 times a week. After school, he is there for hours running and running and running and running and running and running and running, and he's exhausted. And then he calls me up after track and says, Mom, can you pick me up? No, just walk the mile and a half. Didn't you just run? He's like, Mom, for like 2 hours. He's running. He's constantly in strict training. He wants to go to the weight room so he can work out a little bit more so he can develop those leg muscles because he is in strict training. He went to his very first race on Thursday. He practiced countless hours to get there. He arrived 6 hours early to his first track meet. I don't know why, but the track meet started at 4. They were there about 2:30. His race was not until, I believe, 8 o'clock, something like that. They didn't let him just hang out. See, I would have just been like, oh, you don't have to like run for 6 hours. Where is the snack bar and the nap room? They did not allow him to do that. Every half hour while he was waiting to go for his race, which was the 800, dude had to stretch again and run again. Every half hour, stretch and run, stretch and run. This is strict training for his race. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. We're going to go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1 in another point. But go to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Okay, so Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The part of throwing off everything is going to go along with that strict training. And we need to really reference what this all has to do with us, because I don't know about any of you, are any of you on the track team? Right? No one's right. Right. So what does that apply to us? Why is this woman talking about the Olympics and running? Because we are in a race. As Christians, when we become believers, we are in a race. A long distance race. Hello, beautiful. Hi. You could win the race. Would you like this? Okay, go. You can go win the race. She won. There you go. I will hold you while we preach. Come, let's go. Okay, are you ready? Okay, if we could look at the screen, do you want to see pictures? Can we see Okay. I was in a race once or twice. My son really loves to race. Do you like to run?
Say yes. Yes?
No. Okay. So, you got her? Okay. So, I was in a race. See, my son, who is gorgeous and athletic, he'll go, Ma, come with me. I'm signing up for a 5K. And I'll go, sure. Is there like a walking section to it? Yes, apparently they do have the walking part of races, or like a speed walk, or like the much shorter version, the fun part of it. And so my son and I signed up for a race a few years ago where we had to run over the Bayonne Bridge and run back. All right. So, oh, yes. I don't remember if this was before or after, but I see it now, and it's much more clear. This is the after she didn't die part. That's good. And where's the other one? There, well, that's him normally running. There's the ambulance. And there's the finish line. Okay. So my son, who at the time must have been 12, finishes top of his age group. Of course. He came in first or second. It was pretty amazing. So I'm thinking they have to start way before us because they have to run much more. They have the 3K or the 3 mile or the 5K or whatever the translation is. It's off by a few miles, point miles. And then they start the us people, right? The ones who are going to sort of walk run the thing. And I'm like, we're going to get to the end at the same exact time, he and I. This will be like the greatest race ever. And they start, and they're gone for a little bit, for a little while. And then it's like, it's our time. And I'm like, I could totally do this. I am going to run up the Bayonne Bridge. Okay. I barely made it up the steps to the Bayonne Bridge where I was like, oh my God. But I'm not a quitter. I'm just not. So now, I was with the pack for a little while there. The 13 steps, I was there. Once we hit the bridge, I was done. Now I'm backing up. I'm way in the back and way in the back, and I'm just hoping not to finish dead last. But I think the person in the wheelchair may have gone ahead of me at this point. And so now we're finally getting to the end. I see this. I am so excited. But at this stage, can we go back to the ambulance? I was so thankful that was there. I did not see the ambulance when I first started running. But when at the end, I was just really thankful it was there because my end sort of went... My son was finished for 15 minutes before I even got towards the end. And now he's like, Mom, come on. And I'm going, don't talk to me. I can't breathe. There's the ambulance. Did they bring that for me? I have been in a race. It is not easy. You want to talk about new year, new me? Let's talk about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let me tell you about what that looks like in just regular talk. When you look at throw off everything that hinders, we're talking about even changing your clothes because my son's running these like tank top things. They've got to get rid of all the stuff that is going to make it difficult for them to move. It can't be constricting to them. It has to be a breathable fabric. But in terms of Auntie Tanya Munyon, they are in top physical shape. Now, Paul tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, but it probably means something like get rid of the heaviness. Maybe even an ancient writer would use the bodily fat. In the context, in this context, the word would refer to a runner stripping of burdensome clothing or losing some excess bodily fat, which I had not done for this race, which is why I was thankful the ambulance was there. Do you think my race would have looked differently if I had gotten rid of the things that were heavily entangling me. The things that were heavily entangling me in this race was my weight. It wasn't that I had no strength. I have strength, but it was something that was preventing me from moving forward at a good pace. New year, new me. But when it comes to the spiritual life, we have got to get rid of the things that are spiritually entangling us. There are things that are holding us back from the spiritual race that we're running. We need to change our clothing and put on a runner's top, and we need to lose some weight. It got quiet. It's the sin that easily entangles us. This race is long, and it is difficult. It is challenging. Running over the Bayonne Bridge, I had no idea that there is a steep incline. I drive over the thing all the time prior to its construction. It never felt like I was really going up that high. But when I was actually running it and then walking it and then almost army crawling it because I was so exhausted, I did not realize how difficult the incline was. That is what your spiritual race looks like. I think we have this. There have been a lot of speakers that have given this idea that the Christian race, the Christian walk, this Christian journey is supposed to be cream-colored and rose-filled, and it is absolutely not that thing. That is a Western culture that tells us that because we're Christians, we should be hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed doesn't mean that God saw fit that you have a Michael Kors bag. Hashtag blessed does not mean that you got the new Nikes. Hashtag blessed means you didn't think you were going to pay your bill. It was the night before it was due. It was 11 p.m. God brought money and it fell from the sky and you were able to pay your bill before you got the late fee. Hello, that's hashtag blessed. We have to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. And that those things, I actually heard you talk about a little bit of that stuff during worship. And I don't need to give you a list, because when you read in 1 Corinthians, I mean, if you go all through the Bible, it will tell you what easily entangles us. It will tell you in God's word the things that easily entangle us. And for everyone, actually, it's a little bit different. Because what is sin to you, which is a huger temptation, may not be a huger temptation to somebody else, but they have their own. For example, if you used to drink, alcohol might still be a huge temptation, correct? But for someone who never drank, that's not really a big thing for them. It's not tempting them, but maybe gossip is. Sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. And don't put them on different planes and different levels. They're all the same, right? And they're all worth dying for. We have got to get rid of our spiritual obesity in terms of sin. We have got to get rid of the weight. And I'll just tell you, I was sitting here and I was just praying for this sermon and this service, and God said, but what about this? He actually, during the time of worship and during the time of announcements, was saying that you, in this one area, have yet to forgive someone for something that happened quite a while ago. And I thought, wow, I really thought I was done with that. And I don't even know why it came up, because it has nothing to do with you guys. But it was because I was quiet and I was listening to the things that were reflected in this sermon, and God was saying, you have sin that easily entangled you and you have not let it go. You have got to get rid of that weight. I cannot move forward in my race until I deal with what God showed me there in my seat. And I want you at some point to take some time and really think about, is there something that's holding you back? Something that's making it really hard for you to run over the Bayonne Bridge? Something that's really making it hard for you to move forward? I did not realize what he was sharing with me was still holding me back, but I realized that that is a sin of mine. And it is something that I need to deal with. A level of unforgiveness that I have yet to let go, and that seems to be very heavy. And I know even
this is an aside, and it's something that I have studied even about my own weight, and we've talked about my health issues, right, and how God is helping me with all of that. Did you know that unforgiveness helps you pack on pounds? And that sometimes when people really start to forgive, the weight starts to come off? See, God is so good, because he tells us in his word we need to forgive. But it's not just another rule or something else that he's giving us. Because he just aligns science and faith every day in his word. And so that's just an aside, but just dealing with what God showed me about myself. And that being transparent, you would understand that we are all in this race together, and we are all working this stuff out, and we all have sin that easily entangles us, and we all have to get rid of it. When we look here, it talks about winning a crown. See, when we're in a race in real life, right? So my son, you know, he wants the prize. In the Olympics, you want to come in first, second, or third. In the Greek times, they only gave out first prize, and they would give you like a celery crown. Yeah, celery. That's not going to last. If you've ever left celery on the counter, it starts to turn brown, it turns really bad. The Olympic Games changed it later, and they added a laurel crown. It looks probably a little bit more like this. But that was it. There's only one prize. There was one prize. And so we're not just going for a celery crown that's just going to decompose. We're not going for the laurel crown that probably smells really nice. We're going for the eternal crown. We're going for the end. And we can't give up, and we have to have strict training. What does that look like for us? Bible reading, praying, and getting rid of the sin that easily entangles us. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Philippians 3, 7 to 14. There's a lot of verses from 7 to 11, but we'll start at verse 12. Not that I have obtained all this. When you see something, all this, you know you have to go back and realize what exactly is he talking about. But for the sake of time, we're going to read from verse 12 on. Not that I have already obtained all this, or that I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. After my son came home from his first race on Thursday, by the way, he already got his $5 yesterday when he asked me to go out with his friends. Those of you who have never been here know I have to give my kids $5 when I talk about them. He got his yesterday. After my son came home from his first race, he was so happy. He was so proud. He came in, this is his very first race ever. Earl, the taller one, runs all the time. Dude comes home, oh, I got this place. We're like, yay, good job, another one. The freshman, this is his first race. He's so excited. He came back. He was sixth out of 25 in the 800. Yeah, that's really cool. We're so proud of him. But now he's home. He's tired. He goes, he runs, and he gets something to eat. He was starving. He had been there for how many hours? And then says, Mom, I've been thinking about it. You know, my friend Maggie, I should tell her she's in the sermon, too. I'll give her $5. She's really nice. My friend Maggie videotaped me, and she just showed it to me. And she said, and I just watched it. And as I was looking at the video, Mom, I started off in first place. And then I was running. This is not the sign, the universal sign for running. I don't know what that is. As I was running, I hit my foot against the rail, and I slowed quickly into third place. And then I was running, I was still in third place, and I was getting to the end, and just as I saw the finish line, I turned back and hit my foot on the rail and wound up sixth. I was actually in fifth and then wound up in sixth when I turned back. Right? We do the same exact thing in this race that we're running. Forgetting what is behind and looking forward. If you've ever run, your coach will always tell you, never look back. Unless you are Usain Bolt, who normally will be many, many seconds ahead and has the time to turn around and giggle at his and giggle at his other competitors. Unless you're Usain Bolt, you cannot ever look behind. You will slow down, you will be distracted, and you may not even make it over the finish line. Dude was in first place. He let one stumble slow him down. His second stumble was from turning back. We have to be careful with the, forgetting what is behind, because I know Sister Catherine, she was talking about we need to remember where we came from. Yes, we need to remember where we came from. But we can't live in that spot, which is why we do need to forget the past. Some of us can even consider that sin, right? Because that is the sin that so easily entangles us too. But we have got to look forward. We're in a race, and it's not a sprint, it's an endurance. It's a long, 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 challenging race. This is the long distance run of your life. And you cannot look back and live back there. God can't use me because I was this. God can't use me because I did that. God can't. Yes, he can. And stop looking back at those things and look forward. And you also can't look back and think you're done. See, he got a little souped. We don't say souped anymore, right? But I do. He got a little souped there at the end, right? He was kind of ahead. He saw a lot of runners behind him at some point. But he looked back and he slowed himself down. This happens in our spiritual life as well, when we only focus on the things that were our highs, all of our peaks, all of those times that God did all of this or you did all of this in the past. And so you're sort of like hanging out in your peaks instead of in your valleys. You can't look at any of that. You just need to stay forward. Don't let your past slow you down, whether your past is good or bad. Do not go, wow, you remember that youth convention of 1998? Do you remember that women's retreat of 2001? How about that men's convention of 1974? These, although very positive experiences, are not things that can get you to the end of your race. You cannot live on the good or on the bad. I come from a huge background of abuse and death. I cannot continue to look behind me and think about all those things and think I'm never going to make it to the finish line. Yes, I am, because I'm not looking back. It is the same for your spiritual race. Never, ever, ever look back. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go back to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we see all of this imagery, right, of the race, of the runner, of strict training, and Paul is just pulling us into this beautiful imagery. And then he gives us this wording, cloud of witnesses, and you get some sort of weird idea that there's a cloud floating above us with people inside, and they're watching us to make sure that we're behaving down here on earth. They're just sort of looking, right? A witness is someone who has seen the crime. A witness is someone who testifies in court of what has happened. But when we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, when we actually look at our cloud of witnesses, Paul is giving us an imagery of being in like an amphitheater, where the games were held, or in a stadium where we're going to watch the big game, right? And the people who are in the stands right now in the cloud of witnesses, the people who are in the stadium, the people who are in the amphitheater, are people who ran the race already. They know what it took. They had to have strict training. They had to put off the sin that entangled them. And now they're in the stadium watching you run this race. And they're saying, you can do it. We know it's hard, but we've gone before you. These are your encouragers. My greatest encourager, and a person that I know I am so confident in that God has given me in my cloud of witness, but I might just be making that up, is my abuela. I don't know if you have an abuela like I did. She's in my cloud of witnesses because she's already passed away. But abuela would be up at 4 or 5 in the morning. You have one of these abuelas? Maybe an auntie, a grandma? She would be kneeling in a chair kneeling before the chair every single day without fail. Imprinted in my mind is my grandmother in front of that chair, like a little love seat, praying for hours with the word of God on the chair. So she would read it and pray and read it and pray. Every single day she was at that chair. She is foundational to my faith. And yet my grandmother, who passed away well into her 80s, looked at me one day in Spanish and she said, "Did you know that God called me to missions? But I never went. And it is my life's greatest regret." She's in my, I'm gonna cry. You guys make me cry when I come here. She's in my cloud of witnesses because I know that she is in my stadium encouraging me to get rid of some of this weight, and probably in real life too, because nena, te está poniendo gorda. So, you know, girl, you're getting a little fat. Yes, I know. We've been doing this for 25 years. Okay, I see her in the stadium saying, "I ran this race. I know it's hard, but you need strict training. You need to be before, you need to be before our God with your word and in prayer. You need to get rid of that sin that entangles you and know that I am in your stadium waiting for you and I am cheering you on because I know you're going to make it to the end. You have encouragers and they've gone before you. And if you don't have encouragers yet, you're going to get to be an encourager, not just for someone when you get to heaven, but you're going to be an encourager here, youth, young adults leader and youth pastor, children's pastor, women's leader, men's leader. You get to be someone's encourager here on earth. You sit down with people, you tell them to read the word of God, get rid of your sin, pray to Jesus and run this race. And it is not easy. Do not stick around with people who say that you are hashtag blessed because you got a Michael Kors bag. I want you to find the type of people that say you are hashtag blessed because you ran a race and you endured no matter how difficult or how challenging it was. We have a finishing line, finish. Oh, there's the ambulance. Wow, we left that up there for a while, right? When you're running your race, you have to fix your eyes on the finish line. And at our finish line is Jesus and the crown. Not a temporal crown, but the real thing. It's not made out of celery or plastic. This is plastic. This is from my house. But it's the real thing. It's going to be hard. You're going to need to go into some strict training. You need to make time for your devotional life. And if you don't know what that is, please find someone to teach you and disciple you into knowing what a devotional life really looks like. You need to get rid of that sin that entangles you. We've all got it. And if the speaker can sit there and be convicted by the Holy Spirit during worship, we can all be convicted by the Holy Spirit at any time. I'm sure I'll have to be dealing with that one later. And just remember that we are being encouraged. I trust that you know that you're in a race. And I trust that you know that with God's help, you can endure. Don't look back. Don't look back at failures. Don't look back at the time that you hit the rail and you slowed down a little bit. But just keep looking forward. Probably if my son had just kept looking forward right there at the end, he may have come in maybe 4th or 5th. But you know what? He also had a stand full of his friends cheering him on, going, "Come on, Joaquin, you can do it. You can do it." And you have the same. So if you could stand with me, we're just going to, I've been watching the clock. You'd be so proud, even though you moved it over there. We're just going to pray and thank God for his word. I'm so thankful for